What's up, everybody, and welcome to the Occupation Nation podcast, where we try to help you answer the question of, what do I want to be when I grow up? I'm your host, Zach Horvath. This is episode 12 of season 1, and today on the show, we are talking to entrepreneur and creator of the artist app, Greg Kaplan. And I will admit that this one is a little different than the rest, where we were focusing more on the guest's occupation. This one, we kind of dive into what it means to not really know what you're going to do and how the artist app can help you. And this is by no means an ad or anything like that. I just thought it was fascinating that there's an app out there that will give you personalized information and help based on your interests to figure out what your future should be. And it kind of aligns very well with what I'm trying to do here. So I'll leave a link below in the show notes if you want to try to check out the app yourself. So now it's time for a new segment I want to call Fan of the Week. This is where I'm going to look in the reviews of different podcast apps and choose a person to thank and read their review out loud. So this week's Fan of the Week is Shooter24 McGavin off the Apple Podcasts. And his review is, this is a very informative podcast for someone to be able to see the best perspective about these different jobs. Thanks so much, Shooter. I love the name, as well as I love having your support, so thank you so much. If you want to try to be a fan of the week, make sure to leave a review in whatever app you're listening to, and also thank you guys so much for all your support. So with all that done, let's get into this interview.
My name is Greg Kaplan. I'm an entrepreneur and an author. And my company is Artists, College Life Career.
Awesome. Okay. So first thing we're going to hit off here is I want to hear your story, all the steps you've taken in your life to get to where you are now.
I think initially when I was young, I wanted to be a lawyer because my dad's a lawyer and I didn't really know what else was out there. And so I worked hard and I pretty much did everything by myself. My dad worked a lot and my mom doesn't have a college degree, but it was always like, you just need to do well in school to have options. So I worked really hard and didn't have a lot of guidance. And when I got to high school, there was 4,400 kids in my high school and there was 7 or 8 guidance counselors. So there was absolutely no interaction with anyone to say you should consider doing X or you should consider doing Y. So I just kind of stuck to my guns. I'm going to go be a lawyer at some point. And when senior year came along, I went in to meet with my guidance counselor. It was probably one of the first times I'd ever met with her. And I had a stack of college applications that I was ready to give to her to do the letters of recommendation for. And she told me, you know, just forget this whole college thing and focus on going to community college. You don't have to do these applications and it'll save your parents a ton of money and it'll just be the easy way to do it. And that really stung because I had spent, you know, the last 3 years staying up really late for going on some stuff that's just seemed more fun to what I thought to do everything that I needed to do to get into college. And that really bothered me. And I took that as an opportunity to prove this guidance counselor wrong. It's like, you know, I am going to achieve my goals and I'm going to do it by myself. So in high school, I, you know, senior year, I kind of asked myself, what does it take? What are these? I asked myself, what are these people looking for? And I had no idea, to be honest. But I figured that they were looking for a leader. They were looking for someone that was committed to their community. And so I created all of my applications based on what I thought they would want to see from me. Like, what was my pitch? How could I market myself and convince them to take a chance on me? And with no help whatsoever, I was able to earn admission pretty much to almost every school I applied to. I was admitted to every University of California that I applied to. I was either admitted or waitlisted to most of the Ivies. I did not get into my top choice school, which at the time really stung, but in hindsight, maybe a year later, realized was the best thing that ever happened to me. And ended up enrolling at the University of Pennsylvania. And in my first year, switched into the business school. And when I got to Penn, I still didn't really have a sense of what I wanted to do, but everyone was talking about investment banking. And this is before the big financial crisis. And everyone said, this is how you have to go make the most amount of money possible. You could be making $250,000 when you're in your 20s. And no talk of the lifestyle, the hours, or having to live in New York or stuff like that. That just wasn't appealing. So because all of my friends were doing banking or wanting to do banking, I decided that that's what I should be doing because that's what the smart, hardworking kids did. So in college, I studied Spanish, Portuguese, and finance and was able to get a job simply because I spoke two foreign languages while none of the other kids were doing that. And, you know, I landed on Wall Street and it really wasn't for me. It was a really great education, understanding how companies work, how to value them, how to make create value for an investor. But along the way, these folks would say, well, how did you get into Penn? This is why I was at Penn. And I would say, it's simple. You need to have strategy and you need to be able to market yourself. And so I started kind of on the side, just helping, you know, my bosses with their kids, just to kind of curry favor, because I wasn't the best investment banker out there. And I knew that. So I was like, how can I kind of suck up to these people and show them that I can add something so they keep me around and keep paying me this overinflated salary? And people just really resonated to that. So when I graduated from college, the banking system was collapsing. I was scrambling, and I eventually found a job in LA. And I just kind of over and over would meet people, and they'd ask me, how did you get into college? How did you do it? Like on your own, by yourself? And I said, simple, it's strategy and marketing. And so when I decided to leave banking, I just needed a change. I was working till 2, 3 a.m. every day. I was getting sick. I was sick constantly, and I was so stressed out. So I had this brilliant idea, because I kind of went back to my roots. Like, oh, when I was 15, I wanted to be a lawyer. Maybe now is the time to do it. I'm 25. And so I went to law school and I had a full scholarship. I wrote an essay about my favorite book, 100 Years of Solitude, which I recommend anyone to read. It's just a really great study of what does it mean to be a person and this idea that you cannot be neutral in life. You either are good or you are bad. And it's a study of what does it mean to, you know, contribute to society. And it's really, really powerful. It's set in Colombia, you know, one family in Colombia for 100 years and the mistakes they keep making. And it's just, it's really, really profound. And I wrote this essay on saying there was this one little line about how the lawyers with their sad faces would come with these contracts and make things worse. And I wrote an essay about saying, well, I don't think lawyers have to be those type of people to make things worse. And I wrote an essay and got me a full scholarship to go to law school. So I went, and lo and behold, the idea to go to law school with to find something that was less stressful, maybe not the most thought out idea. But I kind of then said, like, hey, this isn't for me. From the first day of law school, I knew it wasn't for me. I'm not a quitter. I work hard and I work through things. But I kept going with this. Well, how can I help families? I just really like talking about how to make the most of an education. So folks start saying, you got to write a book about your approach to college, Greg. So in my third year of law school, I'm working two jobs and just, you know, immersed in law school, trying to figure out what comes next. I would go to a coffee shop after class every day for a couple hours. I said, yeah, I'm going to write about how to get into college. And over the course of 8 weeks in my third year of law school, I went to a coffee shop without any internet because it's a distraction. And I wrote the manuscript for my book called Earning Admission, Real Strategies for Getting into Highly Selective Colleges. And I wrote about what I did right, what I did wrong, and a step-by-step blueprint for navigating a very competitive education, you know, world out there seeking higher education and making the most of it and trying to give families the guidance that I wish I had when I was in high school, going to my guidance counselor, asking for, you know, any help in this process. And it felt really right. The book, it was probably my best writing I've ever done. And I published it on Amazon, self-published. Within 1 month, and we pitched it to different, you know, media outlets, just saying, hey, this is a new take on how to apply to college, make the most of this process in a stress-free way. The media really responded well to the book. I was running at the gym and I got an email saying that I had made the cover story for the Atlantic magazine about college admissions and the use of race and determining admissions decisions. And it kind of snowballed from there. I would go on podcast after podcast, radio show after radio show, and start seeing myself in the news, which was just so surreal. And I started getting calls from people who were seeing me in the news just and saying, can you work with my child? I said, sure. Didn't even think that that was the path. And I've been on this journey for several years now, and it really just snowballed with giving myself a chance to investing time and money and resources into myself to what makes me happy. Because along this journey, there are days where I work till 2, 3 a.m. Working students on their essays and or working on my app, which I'm sure we'll talk about later in this interview. And I just love every moment of it. And so I finally found my passion, and it just resonates with others that I can, you know, I'm just so committed to helping students navigate this path of making education work for them. And I've been able to create a business out of it. And so it started off as a book, just writing in a coffee shop, turned into a consulting company where we work with families across the globe, trying to develop their students' passions, to now, which is what I'm really excited about, which is how do you just keep, I always ask myself, how do I keep growing? How do I keep moving? Which is, we've just launched the first app out there that provides customized weekly college admissions advice that is tailored to a student's interests, activities, and goals. So I'm, you know, just, I'm all in on helping students find their path and passion, whether it's through my book or working with them one-on-one or through my app. It's just, this has just been, it's such a surreal journey, but it literally started with just me wanting to give myself time to do something for myself.
That's a great story. We got to dive into a bunch of stuff because your history is very, very interesting. I want to hear more about when you were in law school, right? When did you have an epiphany that, okay, maybe it is, I need to go help these kids. Maybe that is my future. And how did you decide that that was going to be your step? I'm sure it was really nerve-wracking to say, hey, I went to law school and all this other stuff, but then you're going out on your own, doing your own thing. How scary was that? And how did you decide what you were going to do?
The first step that I took was really out of just being really unhappy with my situation, work-wise. And I remember reading on Yahoo, I'm such a news junkie. It's like, that's probably my worst vice, is like, I just consume a ton of content online on my phone and my laptop. And, I saw this thing on the newsfeed came up about a FedEx driver who was making $300,000 a year, working 4 hours a week. And he had created a website for mixing up to teach people how to mix music. And I was like, at that moment, I'm like, oh my God, like sign me up for that. I don't know how to mix music, but I'll figure out. And in the article, it said how he was working at FedEx and he was just unhappy. I'm like, okay, I can relate to this guy. And he read this, and someone recommended read The 4-Hour Workweek by Tim Ferriss. And I said, you know, if there's some kind of way to get me out of becoming a lawyer, I'll do it. I'll do it. I don't even care. And so I bought the book off Amazon, and it sat on my bookshelf for maybe a year because I didn't have time. Like, law school is just so much work. And then I think I came back from class one day, maybe a year later, and it was just such one of those brutal days. And I was working two jobs, putting myself through school, and law school is just a ton of work. It's just a ton of reading. And it was just, I remember it was just a really frustrating day. And I looked at this bright orange book on my bookshelf and I was like, what do I have to lose? So I went to a Starbucks behind my apartment and I just started reading it. And that book, I think it was like from the first page, it just really like connected with me. So, and I just kept reading and reading and reading. And while I was reading this book, I had this epiphany, like, what am I really good at? And I started to think like, well, you know, I'm not half bad at getting into colleges or graduate school programs that, quite frankly, like between the scholarships or just the sheer acceptances, like, I don't think I'm that qualified to do that, to be honest. And I've always been able to get jobs where people would like look at me like, you know, you had C's in college and you're at like, the hardest to get in a private equity firm where you didn't even have the requisite two years at a feeder bank, or you didn't even have the credentials to get here. And here you are. And I remember them being like, oh, it's great to see you too. And one of my classmates said that to me when they were so offended that I ended up at the same place that they did. And so I was like, I'm not so bad at this. And so that was kind of the idea. I was like, you know what? I can do this. I can. And how do I do this? And the way I figured was like, if I can write a book and explain my approach to this process, I can probably convince people to work with me if I can somehow figure out how to market it and get myself out there. And the natural thing that came to me was the book. So it was terrifying taking that first step. But I think the more terrifying thing that I realized And I'm grateful I realized that in my late 20s was, if I don't give myself the chance and I look back on my life when I'm 40 or 50 or 60 or whatever, and maybe I did well financially, but if I never felt fulfilled or I never felt like I took a risk or invested in myself, that would be the scariest outcome out there. So I think it was me knowing that I needed to try something for myself and stop doing the things that everyone said, oh, go be a lawyer. Why? Because that's prestigious. Oh, go work on Wall Street. Why? Because that's prestigious. And I just said, you know, I'm going to try something for myself. And because I really only need to answer to myself. And that was the greatest decision I've ever made, ever, was to finally actually sit there and do something strictly for me instead of trying to please my parents or please whoever I was dating or just whatever, any expectation that was placed on me.
That is a really interesting point to make, because I'm sure it is easy to see these, you know, lavish lifestyle, oh, he's so cool type ideas, but really it sounds like it was a grind and it's a lot harder than you think about when you think, oh, he's making so much money. How did you go about selling yourself? You said that you, did you use the book as a tool in your arsenal when starting the company? And how did you go about getting, you know, getting the word out there and telling people about yourself and letting people know who you are and what you do?
Starting a business is not build it and they will come. I think there are some people that you hear this, these legends or myths, and I almost think that people make that up. So it seems even more impressive and more, you know, mythical what they've done. I don't think that's the case. And so the first thing I did was I hired a publicist to help me kind of get the book out there. And that was scary. It was the biggest check I'd ever written at that point in my life for anything, even more than, you know, the modest cars I was driving at that point. And that was the first step. And I started really contacting folks, you know, in my industry who maybe were affiliated, whether they're tutors who help kids study for the SAT or ACT, and really just start introducing myself. With a few magazine articles, I was able to start getting inbound inquiries. And I really started putting myself out there, started giving people copies of my book, asking for feedback, letting them know what I was trying to do. And that kind of just turned into the snowball effect. I think I remember my grandmother was even giving copies of my book to people in her bridge group to give to their grandkids. And I had people call me from that. It was just, I think it's when starting a business, you have to put yourself out there and you have to be okay with people thinking that whatever you're telling them falls flat. That's life. And so I think when I was younger, I had a fear of rejection in any form, getting rejected from college, getting rejected, asking for anything. And I stopped caring if people said no or stopped responding to me. And I also started getting much more good about, much better about follow-up, which was, I'm not hearing back from you. I'm going to keep following up with you till I get a response. I can't tell you the value of networking. And I think that's just something that I've always been willing to talk to people and offer advice and help. And just doing that, I think, put me in the situation where people saw that I cared about them. And not just going to them saying, hey, can you help me? It's, how can we help each other? And I think there's one thing to sit there and say, hey, I have a new business or I'm starting a business, promote it for me. But you have to put yourself in the position of the other person. It's like, why would I do that? Like, what's a lot of people, a book that I always recommend people to read is How to Win Friends and Influence People by Dale Carnegie. And I think that always resonated with me as messages. If you're going to ask someone to do something for you, they're going to be thinking, put yourself in their position, which is, why should I do that? And that really helped me, because when I started going out there and asking people like, well, I'm new, I have all this time in the world, how can I help you? Like, I'm asking you to help me. What can I do for you? And I think that proved to be a really good strategy.
It sounds like it makes a lot of sense, and it does well if you just be yourself, if you have a tenacity about you, like don't take no, but if no comes along, you got to be able to handle rejection and just networking. Is that fair what I said there?
I think so. The value of networking cannot be understated. If you are shy, you got to just put yourself out there.
When did the artist brand come into play?
Within 6 months of graduating law school, I was full-time in my business. And as soon as I went full-time into my business, I started working on the app. And that's been a couple of years now. And so it took 2 years to launch it where it is today. after getting, you know, sued for the name and just working with different developers to try to just get the product right. I initially started as a website. It's been such a rocky road to get to the point where we're at today, but every step along the way has made me stronger. And I know a lot of people, you hear that, like the setbacks you face, it make you stronger, make you wiser. That's absolutely the truth in my situation. So over the last 2 years, it has been what started just as me, and then me finding people that could be very surgical to help with the needs, just because it's just me still. Like there are people that help me that I've hired to help me along the way. But at the end of the day, I have to be very scrappy. I treat every day like I'm back in that coffee shop, because I feel as soon as I get content or feel that, you know, I can relax or let my guard down, I think that's when it kind of goes awry. So I've hired people along the way to help, mostly on a project level basis. I've hired employees. It's grown. But over 2 years, we built it, and the challenges from the tech side, challenges from managing folks in different countries, having to adjust our marketing strategy, it's been so challenging. And I can't tell you, like, I've never slept worse in my life since I've started a business, because there's so much to think about. I have a hard time turning my mind off at night before I go to bed. And so, all that glitters is not gold. Like, it is tough. Every day is tough. But it's really fulfilling and it's really fun. But over the last 2 years, we've built the app to get it to where it is today. And I've found people, and the artist brand came about in a conversation, which was, what are we standing for? It's not just getting into college. It's really, how do you craft your life? How do you develop the skills to create a message and follow your passion? So we moved away from just calling it, say, college path to artists. Because artist is the Latin word to craft. And that's what I want everyone to treat their life as, like, you are your own blacksmith, your own craftsman, and whatever you create is yours. And that's what I'm trying to inspire. And that's why I'm so stoked for the name for the app, even though I don't think most people realize what it stands for, which is I've now shifted my business to being in the business of helping young people craft their futures, because I want people to be actively involved and take those steps to find those things, to do the things that give them that sense of enjoyment, that give them happiness, that give them financial independence, because that's what this is about. And that's why I think everything happens for a reason in this journey, the struggle of getting sued for the name, of having all these little tech issues along the way that come with developing an app. It just made me stronger. And it also makes me believe more in the message that we have for folks who download our app.
So let's go through that, downloading the app. So what type of person do you think needs to download it? Could anyone who doesn't know anything about what they want to do out of high school download it? Or is it specifically for people who know they want to go to college or know their future?
It's for everyone. And the reason why it's for everyone in middle school or high school, because when you're 14 or 15 or 16, I mean, heck, even me in my mid-20s, I had no idea what I wanted to do. I thought I knew what I wanted to do, but there is a difference. And the goal is, even if you're dead set on becoming an engineer or a nurse or a teacher, or you have no idea, is you have to go explore and validate those assumptions and those thoughts. You download the app, a person downloads the app, and they start getting a weekly plan that is tailored just for them. So it's timed to the school calendar. It provides recommendations for the types of classes to take, the types of community service to do, ideas on internships, leadership opportunities. Because if you have an idea, let's go prove it. Let's go say, I want to be an engineer. I want to be a nurse. Let's go volunteer at a hospital to make sure that that's exactly what you want to do. And if you don't know what you want to do, high school really should be about exploring what excites you, because that's how you try. Just doing nothing, it shouldn't be an option. It's like, I have no idea what I want to do, therefore I'm going to do nothing. No, there is no consequence to trying anything in high school or college and seeing if it's a fit or if it's not a fit. And that's what I'm inspired. That's why I think that Artist is available for someone who has the next 40 years of their life planned out, because it'll just give you great, you know, tailored advice to confirming that and making sure that your application sizzles come application time so you can go accomplish your dreams. And if you don't know what you want to do, it provides you easy to implement and low stress ways to go explore.
So, I mean, it's almost like a why not download the app, right? I mean, everyone, like you said, you made a great point. And when you said that everyone needs to do something. Okay, maybe you don't know what you want to do, but you need to do something at some point, right? So you got to figure it out eventually. And I think that the app itself would help anyone out there figure out something, or at least give them a little breadcrumb and say, hey, this might be interesting. And then they run into that.
What I hope is that this is that spark for a young person to go make whatever it is that they envision their life to be in the future, make that journey rewarding and fulfilling, and get them closer to that goal.
Exactly. And that's why I was so excited to have you on the show, because like you said, I think our ideals align in that regard, because that's what this podcast started from. I didn't know what I wanted to do. I had no idea. So I just had to dive into everything and just kind of figure out what I liked. So it sounds like this hub, this app can, you know, help guide people. And then for me, I'm an engineer. So if I put in engineer, like you said, it's going to give me weekly tasks, weekly topics to hit. And getting into college is a whole nother beast that once you figure out what you want to do, where do you go? How do you get in? When you're in college, how do you find success in college? How do you get through it? All these points are so important. And there's a lot that goes into it. What is it about, you know, helping people and helping kids get into college, get through college? What is it about that you love and it brings you passion?
So I think it goes back to that kind of smack in the face, like, I'm not going to help.
Oh, okay.
That conversation, which was, I remember how awful that felt. I remember that I'm a fighter at heart and just want to be like, you know, I just think that if we can give this kind of guide, if folks have an idea, like imagine the things everyone can accomplish if they're just channeled. And I look back to my own family story where, you know, my mom and her brothers and my grandparents didn't really give them any guidance. And and I think of all like the missed opportunities that my mom could have had. My mom didn't go to college. And that's something I think why it became such an obsession in my house was like, you can do something that I can't, and you will, and you're going to make something of it. And I just think that kind of like is part of who I am. So it's just so fun. It's so amazing to see when I have a student that gets into their dream college or gets an internship and discovers that they want to be a computer programmer or everything. It's just so cool. And so I just get a lot of satisfaction seeing other people succeed. And maybe that sounds cheesy, but it's so rewarding. And to be able to come to work every day and say like, gosh, I am actually going to help someone do something great today, and not just do it for them but like teach them how to do it for themselves. Like it may sound cheesy, but I get a lot of satisfaction out of it. And so I think between that incident, knowing what it's like not to have the help, and then wanting to, and just seeing the results that come from it, it's just like, I couldn't ask for anything more.
Definitely. When you're helping someone and they finally get it or they succeed, it's just one of those things you can't even describe. And I don't think it's cheesy at all. I think it's very straightforward. When you do it, you just feel it. And it's just like, oh man, that's awesome.
And I always advise students I work with to say, go find that feeling. Like if you're feeling like, if what makes you excited is to build things, then go build things. If it's like, I like, you know, helping people, like look at things that you could do where you get to help people. Or if you like arguing, like if argument is your sport at home with your parents, then go become a trial lawyer and go work as a district attorney or public defender where you just get paid to argue for a living.
What would you say is the hardest part of getting someone who comes to you, getting them through college? Is it the application? Is it getting their mindset right? Is it helping them choose what path to take? What's the hardest piece of that puzzle?
I think the hardest part of that puzzle is finding that passion, which is like whatever it is that makes you excited to do. So I think that when you're 15 or 16, mom and dad can often be saying, you know, you should do X or Y. And I think there's a lot of pressure to do whatever it is that our communities expect of us. But it's to take that chance and do something that you enjoy and starting from there. So I think it's really honing in on what makes me excited and what can I do to build a life around that? Because I think if you follow your heart, the success will come with it as well. And so I think it's just taking that first step to actually believe in yourself and do something for you. I remember a lot of my classmates, when they found out that I, you know, was leaving the law after just 6 months of practicing, were like, I can't believe he's going to become a tutor. I'm like, you know, you can say whatever it is you want about me. I'm happy and I'm doing just fine. And I think you have to be strong, because, you know, we want to be well perceived by others. And it's sometimes you just have to sit there and say, I'm doing this for myself. And when you're young, that is the time to do it. When you don't have as many commitments or obligations, it is the time to do it. If you're 16 or 17, now is the time to be very selfish and think about what makes you happy, because your success will follow if you stay true to yourself.
If you could show someone the app, right, sitting next to you, what is the thing that you'd show them?
So if there's a high school student, say, or even in middle school, so someone 8th through 11th grade, you can download the app even in 12th grade. I think the coolest thing about it, which makes me the most excited, is that you take this 10-minute onboarding assessment, and I would just show them, like, look, this is what you can be doing in high school to make the most of high school. And not only to help you boost your odds of getting into a college that you want to go to, but also to, like, have fun along the way and do things that actually are relevant for you. So there is no guesswork. There is no, oh, I'm so stressed about getting college. It's like, look, it's every week it's saying, hey, you know, Zach, hey, Greg, like, this is what you should be doing based on what you, and it changes every week. And it's, for me, that's just, I think, I mean, I know I built this, but, like, when I look at it, I'm like, oh, that's really cool that you could have a personal plan.
You got to have fun along the way. It ain't all about what everyone tells you to do and all this outside pressure. My parents just said, hey, whatever you want to do, do your best and make sure you love it. And I mean, I think that's the idea of all of this, right? I mean, you guys are helping kids. You're not really pushing it down their throat either. It seems like in the app, at least from what I've seen, you're just kind of saying, hey, here's this stuff. Go check it out. Do this. This will help you in the 3 years you get into college, or if you're a, you know, sophomore or junior or whatever. We haven't even talked about your podcast. So let's get into your podcast a little bit. What do you guys get into in the podcast?
Sure. The Earning Admission podcast is, I mean, I just love talking about, you know, making high school and this process, you know, tailored to a student's health, happiness, and financial independence. So this is our Earning Admission podcast is another opportunity for folks to get more information to make this journey more rewarding. So it touches on a lot of the things that we cover in Artists. I think I look at the podcast as a supplement to Artists and just as another way to help families navigate this process. So it covers, we had an episode about our college visits worth it and how to make the most of a college visit to a campus, and things where, you know, in an app, you're getting a weekly plan, but maybe you need a 45-minute pep talk on what is it, you know, planning a swing through, say, you know, to visit schools, or you want to just, you know, kind of interact with us a little more. So it's a lot of fun, and you know, we are producing an episode a week, and just trying to add to that conversation that I'm trying to have with students and their families through Artists. Is just, this is another way to kind of connect with folks.
Gotcha. And the going to college visits was a great one, in my opinion, because if I'm being straight up, when I went to a college visit, I was just thinking about, all right, this place looks pretty cool. I wasn't really thinking about all the other pieces of the puzzle that go into going and actually looking at a college. There's a lot more that goes into it. All right. Well, I hope you have a great week, and thanks again for doing this.
Likewise. Thank you, Zach. Take care.
And that will do it. Thank you guys so much for enjoying the show. And again, if you want to try out the Artists app, I'll have a link down below in the show notes. I also have a link to Greg's Earning Admission book. It's a really, really cool read, and you can learn a lot from it. So thank you guys so much for listening. Be sure to subscribe and review, as well as following us on social medias at O Nation Podcast. So with all that done, thanks, and we'll see you on the next one.